Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Wesley, Senior Pastor of Greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. Our mission is to reach, teach, and baptize throughout the world, beginning in our community, fulfilling the Great Commission by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit until Jesus returns. That simply means we're here to reach irreligious people and turn them into lifelong devoted followers of Jesus, equip them for a place of service in the church, and send them out on a mission for Christ in the world. We're glad you're with us today. I command blessings on you and your family today.
come and bow down. Come and worship him. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to worship him. Anybody want to worship God today? Oh, he's worthy. Isn't he worthy to be praised? All you have to do is just think about your life and think about where you have come from. No one have to prompt you to worship. When I woke up this morning, I just wanted to say thank you for another day. I didn't need nobody to push me. When I lifted my own eyes, I couldn't help but to tell him I'm grateful. Able to get out of my own bed. If I had chosen to, I could have fed myself. God's been that kind of good. I'm thankful. I'm grateful for this awesome privilege that we have to gather together this morning. And God has a word for us for today. And I want to get to that word, but I want to invite you now to prepare your heart for the word through a time of prayer. Gracious God, we see a reflection of ourselves when we see our children. We know that we too have been that way, and we're still children in a real sense. We're growing, and we're desiring to grow in your word. We acknowledge you. We thank you. We praise you for loving us and for blessing us with your mercies as you have watched over us as we have traveled through another week. We thank you for giving us rest last night, allowing us to lie down, to be safe, and wake up early this morning with our hearts and minds on you and having a desire to be here in the house of prayer. We thank you for every good and perfect gift that we have received. We know that it has come to us from above, from you who are the Father of lights. Father, now as we have been engaged in worship, we have been excited with our children and we've listened to them. Now, Lord, help them to listen to you. Open our hearts, open our minds. Speak to us and speak through us as we open together your word. Give clarity, give understanding. Speak the truth so clear, so deep that none of us escape. That our lives will be forever changed as a result of your word, result of the truth. Lift now your human out of self and fill us with the Holy Spirit. Bless the words that are in our mouth and the meditations that are on our heart, that it may be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We ask it all now in the name of your son, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, those of you that have been around know that we've been working in the book of Ephesians. This morning I'm going to deviate from that because I want to speak directly to our young people. I want to go to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verse 1 is the text for the day, but the context is in the first 8 verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And I'll read just the first verse. There the sermonic spotlight focuses. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. This is the word of God for the people of God. I want to preach this morning from this subject, before it's too late. Before it's too late. I want you to know that although I'm speaking to our youth in particular, this is a word for all of us. Because there is still breath in our bodies. And while there is breath in our bodies, we may easily forget that we must respond appropriately to God. In particular, I want to to say to our young people and to all of us today, we won't be here always. And the writer Solomon here, who is addressing his sons and all people really, is saying to us that we have to think deeply about our relationship with God. And we have to think deeply and clearly about our relationship with God and the purpose that He has put us on the planet. We have to think about that before it's too late. Before it's too late. When Christmas comes, you have to get the shopping in before it's too late. Whatever you do, you have to do it before a deadline. We're all familiar with deadlines. And God has a deadline too. It's unannounced, it's unknown, but it's there. And we have to make the most out of our life before it's too late. One of the best pieces of advice that I received as a child, I received it from my mother. And not only to me, but to all of my siblings, because she said the same thing to all of us. She wrote in our autograph book when we were in the eighth grade, in all of our ways, to acknowledge Him, and He would direct our path. I've just been foolish enough to believe it and have tried to build my life upon those truths. And this is what I want to say today to our young people today, that the advice I would give you, I know you're young, I know it seems that you have plenty of time to do everything, but I've done far too many funerals. And I see just as many short graves as I do long. And while I don't want to be morbid today, I want you to understand the text is a warning. And it's a warning to all of us. Whatever is in you, whatever you're going to do, whatever you're going to accomplish, whatever purpose the Creator has put you on the planet for, you have to discover that and engage in it before it's too late. You can't let Pookie, Nene, Ricky, Riri, and nobody else talk you out of your purpose. You have to understand God is not playing. And He gives us a limited amount of time. And so it's important. It's important. It really is important to remember now your Creator. Solomon here is David's son. You know David. David was the king of Israel. David was that good-looking man, right? Son of Jesse, you know. And David, obviously, being a good-looking man, looked for good-looking mates. Now, he didn't have no choice, no problem choosing. He chose a lot of them. I mean, he didn't care whether they were married or not. He chose them. You know, he was on the balcony one day. You do know that, don't you? And he saw that beautiful girl bathing, and her name was Bathsheba. And David sent for her, and she was married. And David, he wasn't perfect. He had the girl husband killed once he discovered that she was pregnant. I just want you to understand that God doesn't hide anybody or hide anything in the Word. He exposes all of the issues in life. And David went on after Bathsheba, the child that she was pregnant with. God wouldn't let that child live. That child died. But David married Bathsheba. And they had another child. And that child's name was Solomon. Even though David was married to Abigail and married to Saul's daughter Michal, and married to this one and that one. And once he became king, he took on 20 more and had all of those wives. Now watch this, because when his son Solomon becomes king after David dies, Solomon tops David. Solomon ends up with 1,000 women. 300 wives and 700 concubines. Now, just do the math. Now, if he was going to be with someone, it would take 3.5 years before he got back around to the same one again. Solomon not only tried his hand at pleasure by experimenting with all types of women, Solomon went wild in everything. God made him rich, so he was wealthy. If he was the son of David and Bathsheba, he was good looking. You know, you do have a chance. If you got a good looking mama and a good looking daddy, you got a chance. And so Solomon was handsome. He was. And he was smart. He had all of the stuff that you want. He was tall. He was dark. He was handsome. He was wealthy. And he had a lot of sense. Solomon was said to be the wisest man to ever live. But Solomon tried some of everything to see what life was about. He decided not only would he try his hand with women, and I've just already given you that pedigree, but he tried his hand at building. So he built buildings. He loved building buildings. And he built buildings. He built all kinds of magnificent buildings. He loved art. So he had beautiful art everywhere. He loved music, so he had male singers and he had female singers. Solomon had everything it is that a person could have. But he comes away at last with a conclusion. And he concluded that it's all vanity. That it really doesn't mean anything. So let me help you. Let me help you understand. You're not going to live long enough to make all of the mistakes. So we have to learn from those who have been before us. And since Solomon made the mistakes and almost vanished his name from the record book, let us not be foolish and make the mistakes that Solomon made. You don't need all of the women. You don't need all of the money. You don't have to have all of the sense. You just have to have enough sense to know what God is saying to you. And Solomon concludes, he said, the conclusion of the whole matter is these things. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's what he concludes the whole book with. And out of all that he tried, out of all that he said, out of all that he did, he brings it down to one thing. There are two things that are important in life. Respect God. And you know, young people today don't respect God. They don't respect nobody. You know, I mean, when I was a kid, man, we respected God. If it was thundering and the lightning, parents would say, turn that TV off. Turn that radio off. The Lord is working. You know, when I was a kid in the days of our youth, man, sometimes we couldn't leave off the front porch. And so we learned how to entertain ourselves. We learned how to play jacks. Hello, somebody. I know I'm dating myself. We played with Rick Racks. In the community, we played hopscotch and dodgeball and rock teacher. Come on, somebody. I'm just talking about the days of our youth. The days of our youth, we ran footloose and fancy free. Drank water from a hose pipe and wasn't worried about lead poison. Sifted dirt and even tasted it sometime. There was good dirt and there was bad dirt. Played marbles all over the community. Basketball, baseball, in the street. Street ball. Ball, by the time I got to the park, hitting with a bat, man, I could hit the ball because I had been hitting with a broomstick. But today's youth is different. You don't hardly go outside. And all of your skill is right here. Young people today got the fastest thumbs ever. And I think you're missing something. But let me tell you, in the middle of all of those merry-making, footloose, fancy-free things of our youth, we also had God. We had church. We had to go. You couldn't go. Sunday came. You didn't have a choice. You had to go to church. If you didn't go to church, you couldn't go outside. You couldn't go play. And so I want to say to you today, you got to remember now I'm echoing Solomon. He says, remember now, in the days of thy youth, thy creator. You got to remember that someone made you, and it wasn't mama and daddy. Someone brought you here, and you didn't come from Brookwood. You came from God. And you have to remember him now. You have to learn of him now. Learn about him now. There are so many young people who do not even know that God is an option. And as a result, I'm sorry to say, we have an increase of suicide. We have an increase of homicide. We have an increase of all kinds of heinous activity. And it's because young people did not learn who God is. When you know who God is at an early age, you start learning, thou shalt not steal. You learn that thou shalt not kill. You learn that you shouldn't have no other gods before me. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. You learn a lot of things that will become foundational principles for your life. And what I'm saying and what Solomon is saying is you have to learn these things before it's too late. Because what he describes as too late is the aging process. Now, believe it or not, you are going to get old. If you live long enough, you're going to change. Yes, you are. I know some of you now are brick houses, but live long enough and that brick house is going to become a block house. And I'm just telling you brutally honest today. That figure 8 is going to become a figure 12. And Solomon, what he does, he describes the aging process in poetic language here in the scripture text. That's what's happening in verses 2 through verses 8. In verse 1, he's one and he said, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while you're footloose, while fancy free, while life doesn't have any real responsibilities, it's important that you embrace God. It's important that you understand church is a valuable place. It's not a place to play, but it's a place where you can come and learn of him. And you can carry that in your heart throughout all of your life. Because you're going to come upon what Solomon is calling the evil days. How many know old age is all right? It's just inconvenient. And so look at how he describes the aging process. He said, you need to remember God now. In verse number 2, he said, before the evil days draw now. And the first thing he says, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened. And the clouds return after the rain. What in the world is Solomon talking about? He said, there's going to come a time when that sharp mind of yours is going to begin to fade. Your memory is going to slip. Do you know that? How many know that? Especially if you've grown up a little bit, you know that your memory will slip. Right? Yes, you will. Listen, I wanted to tell you about three things. I could only think of the first thing. Because I forgot already the other two things. How many know you've gone into a room looking for something and had to walk back out and could not remember why you went in that room? Because as you grow, your memory will begin to fade. And it's one of the signs of aging. And I know right now you can remember all of your timetables. Some of you can. And you can remember all of those rap songs and you know all of the words for all of the bad stuff you shouldn't know. But the time will come when that mind is going to begin to slip. And then he said, and he says, and after the clouds will return the rain, you're going to enter into a second childhood. You're a child now, but you're going to grow and you'll get old and you'll become a child again. The rain's going to come back, baby. And when the rain come back, you will be a child again. At one time, I thought I was so strong. I thought I knew everything, thought I understood. But now sometimes I even need help. So the clouds will return. You're going to grow old. Your mind is going to slip. And you're going to become a child again. And then he says, not only that, he said, but the keepers or the keepers of the house are going to tremble. Right now, man, you got these strong thumbs and you can play these video games and all that. But one day those hands are going to shake. They're going to shake. They're going to shake. They're going to shake. Because although they are the strong men today, they defend you. These are your defenders. These are the ones you fight with and do your work and all of those things. But as strong as they are, one day they are going to trouble. I used to laugh when I was a kid at people who shaved. I thought it was funny. It ain't funny no more. Because I shaved. And I understand the reality of what has happened. And not only that, he said, and the strong men, you know, the keepers of the house, you know what I mean? Your legs one day are going to give out. Those legs are going to bend. You know, we used to tease a man that lived on our block by the way he walked. When we were children, you know, we used to all get a stick. And we was all mocking him. Just didn't know that given enough time, that straight frame will start to bend back toward the dust from whence it came. And those grinders, you do know what grinders are, don't you? They are your teeth. And they are one day going to fall out. Some of you now are losing your teeth because you eat too much sweet, too much candy. And sometimes they have to be pulled, but over time. And you got to understand, Solomon was writing in a time when, before dentures. And so he said, the grinders are going to cease. In other words, you're going to lose teeth over time. And he's calling these evil days. Now, I know in today's society that there are people who do things to help themselves. You know, he said, not only will the teeth fall out, but then he's also referring to the digestive system. The grinders, the grinding is going to be low. That is, you're not going to be able to chew your food and smack it. There are going to be some times when you're going to might have to gum it. And the digestive juices will flow. Your face will sink in. Right now, your face is fat and full. But over time, face will draw in. And that wonderful figure, that wonderful face that you spent so much time painting, you're going to be trying to prop it up. The sound of the birds will wake you. It's going to come a time when any little noise will wake you up. Right now, most of you think you can sleep through anything, especially when mom and dad are saying, get up, it's time to go to school. You turn over there and you snore a little bit more. But the time is going to come when the faintest sound is going to get you. I remember, man, when we moved into the house, we moved into a new house, and I wasn't familiar with all of the sounds, and my wife was out of town, and I was there by myself, and I heard a noise, and I sat up in the bed. You know, my eyes got big. I was trying to figure out what in the world was going on, and I heard it again, and my chest started to pound. So I got up. I said, I need to see what it is. It sounds like it's coming from the kitchen. So I go into the kitchen, and the closer I got, the more my heart pounded. And I got in the kitchen and found out it was the ice maker. I still hear it, but it doesn't frighten me now because I know what it is. But then when I did not know, it created a difficulty for me. There was another sound. One night again, I was in the bed and I heard a sound, and it sounded like it came from upstairs. And I said, I go upstairs and I look around. I said, nobody's up here. I know nobody's up here. I go back to bed and I hear it again. It took me 2 weeks to figure that one out. It was the tree rubbing against the gutter of the house when the wind blew. Sounds is what I'm telling you will do a number on you. It'll make you think you're hearing footsteps when nobody is walking. It'll make you hear voices when nobody is talking. Time will bring about a change. And so you need to understand something. There's going to come a time when you're not going to want to go outside. The door will be shut. That is, there will be an increase in your fears. Right now, young people think they can do everything. They go to the park, to Six Flags, and they can ride all these crazy scream machines. The day is going to come when you're going to wave goodbye to the scream machine. There's going to be some time when you're not even going to want to go outside. That's why people, when they age, they don't drive at night. Their eyesight is not as good. There are so many other fears that cripple people and drive people. All Solomon is saying is, that's why you need to remember God now. Because the day is going to come, man. The aging process is going to take its turn. The almond tree is going to change. Your hair. Yep, that black hair is going to turn, man. Young ladies, it's going to turn. It's going to turn, and you're going to go to the hairdresser, and you're going to say, can you please find some Miss Clairol? Could you color it a different color? Because you're going to recognize that white hair is a sign of aging. And there are so many people who don't want to recognize it or acknowledge it. And as a result of it, you know, we want to do good. I mean, I just laugh to myself, though, because I know sometimes, man, when some people get home nowadays, it's like demolishing a house. You know, I mean, you have to take off the wig, you have to take off the eyes, you have to take out the teeth, take... It's the truth. It's the truth. And so why there's strength, why there's vigor, why there's knowledge, why there's a willingness to go, why there's a willingness to stand, why there are no fears, why there are no concerns, remember now thy creator. I had a grandmother. She used to say, vice president of the Missionary Society. And she would make sure that we attended Crusader meeting. And one time I skipped Crusader boys meeting, and she got in my face. She said, you are sorry, Crusader. And in other words, she meant that for me to be there. I don't care. Whenever the church door opened, we would be there. When the choir, youth choir was to sing, we couldn't say we didn't want to sing. We had no choice. We were there. When it was time to be on the usher team, you had to be on the door. And we had ushers in the church. They wouldn't let us play like we wanted to play. You know what we used to do? We used to draw on the programs, draw mustache on people, and pass love notes. Do you love me? Say yes. Check yes, check no. went on doing church, but we had an usher that'll come by and stick out that fan. And if you had gum in your mouth, that gum had to go on that fan. And if you refused, your parents were going to get a call. And I certainly didn't want nobody calling my mama or my daddy. My daddy didn't play. You didn't want nobody from the church calling your folk. Are y'all hearing me this morning? I know we live in a different world today because people don't want to say anything to young people today. You don't want to say anything. Don't want to correct them. Don't want to tell them they're wrong. Don't want to tell them to sit down. Don't want to tell them to be quiet. Don't want to tell them that's inappropriate. Somebody's got to do it. Otherwise, we're going to lose a generation. We've lost 3 or 4 generations already. One of the saddest commentaries that's in this Bible is in the book of Judges, chapter 2. And it says, and there arose a generation that knew not the Lord. And the reason we have generations that are rising that know not the Lord is because we have stopped teaching. We've stopped teaching young people. And we look at Sunday school now, and Sunday school is more populated by adults than it is by children or youth. We need to have children in school, in church school, in Sunday school. Because as soon as they get grown, now you know what they're going to tell you. I ain't going. You can't make me now. But nobody have to make me now because I came up in it. Because it came up in me. And because he came up in me and raised me up. Yes, when you see me stand today at 60, whatever years it is of my life, that it didn't just happen now. That started a long time ago. No child is too little to serve Jesus. No child is too little to love him and learn of his heavenly throne. Jesus, God loves little children and he wants them for his own. But they have to be brought. They have to be taught. If you look in the New Testament, you see Mary and Joseph, hand-picked, hand-selected parents. They did what they were supposed to do. They brought Jesus to church. He was 12 years old. They brought him there. My mama didn't send us to church. She brought us. She'd be teaching. She'd lay me on the front seat, the front pew. While she teaching Sunday school. So I had to listen. And I loved it so much that when I was 6 and should have been in the beginner's class, I told the folk a lie. I told them I was 9 so that I could be in the junior boys class to be under Reverend Lanier. Because I wanted to learn. I wanted to hear it. I wanted to know it. And I want you to understand today. It may not be popular among young kids. It may not be popular among young people to want to learn about the Lord. We had to learn Bible verses. We were laughing just yesterday in our family, man. We had to learn. We couldn't even eat until everybody said a Bible verse. And it'll be 12 or 15 of us at the table. So I learned half of the Bible before I was a kid. Because you couldn't repeat nobody else's Bible verse. You had to say your own. I would be troubled to go down the line and ask people to say their Bible verse. They asked some people one day some simple Bible questions. Ask them, could you name 3 of the 10 commandments? And people couldn't name 3 commandments. They asked a lady one day on national television, what's the difference between an apostle and an epistle? And she said, an epistle was the wife of an apostle. I'm serious, man. Some things you should learn in the days of your youth. Not only will age come, age is not the worst of those things. Because this writer, Solomon, goes on to say that following age comes death. And so the reality that God puts before us today is that you have to do what you're going to do before it's too late. When you want to run for Jesus, you might not be able to run if you put it off. When you want to speak for the Lord, you won't be able to speak later on when you don't have any capacity to retain anything. Most people who become Christian before the age of 17. Now, there are many who come to Christ later in life, but most people who become Christian when they're children. Let me prove it in here right now. How many people became a Christian before age 17? Raise your hand. Look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that. Thank you so much. I mean, we just did. We just did. It wasn't no pushback on that. When we got baptized, people would go through the community telling people, knocking on people's door, I got baptized today. I got saved today. People would sing the song, have you got good religion? And they would affirm, certainly, Lord. Have you got good religion? Certainly, Lord. Is your name on the roll? Certainly, Lord. That's how it was. And people were not ashamed. And so now the call today is for you to come out from among them. Come out from among those that don't want to have anything to do with God. See, evil manners corrupt good behavior. And you can have friends today that will mess you up. Most young people, parents, when they're at home with you, they are one way. And it becomes difficult for parents to understand, well, why that child act like that when he go to school? Something must be wrong with the school. There's nothing wrong with the building. It's the company that he's keeping. Other people can corrupt your child. And if you don't teach them at home and use the correct terminology, somebody else will. Those of you who have little girls, teach your girls. Let them hear it from you. Because the other girl is going to tell her the same thing, but she's not going to use the correct terminology. She's going to use the slang, and she's going to make it sound so good. And lead your child astray. So I just want you to understand the injunction of Solomon. Solomon, Solomon, Solomon. Man tried everything, did everything, had it all available to him, but at the end ruined his own life and had to declare it's all vanity. It's all worthless. It doesn't mean anything. Listen, Jesus echoes the same words. He said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but in the end lose his soul? The Apostle Paul weighed in on it, and Paul said it like this. He said, I don't want to have preached to others, and I myself become a castaway. I can't just stand here and tell it to you. I have also got to live it. I've got to insist upon it in my house, among my sons, among my grandchildren, among others. And I know, I understand, man, how it is when you don't want to hear it coming from other people. And we used to make fun of them too. Here they come. You know, we had a Sunday school superintendent, man. He wore a big tie. It was a fat tie. I mean, it could have been a vest. It covered his whole chest. And we laughed at him. But he'd be getting on us, boy. Little boys, y'all get on up there and get in that classroom, get up there and get that school. There was a little store right down the street from the church, and all of us children wanted to go to the store. But when that organ started playing, and we knew that church was starting, we had to get in there. Whether we wanted to or not, because somebody was going to be looking around. It was as if they would take roll. They would look for you. And if you were not there, you'd be reported. Don't have the attitude today, young people, that my mama don't care if I'm not in there. My daddy don't care. Somebody need to care. We care. But more importantly, you care. The time is going to come, man. Paul, I mean, should I say, is what writes, he writes, he says, man, there's going to come a time when the spinal cord is going to bend, when the bowl is going to be broken, the crown of your head, the skull, the heart. And may I tell you today, heart disease is taking so many people out. All of these things. Right now, man, when I was 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, wasn't no such thing as blood pressure. You know, we didn't walk nowhere. We ran everywhere. So we was in great shape. But now, excuse me, all of us got medicine cabinets. And those medicine cabinets got more in them than vitamins. Something for every one of these ailments that we experience. So while this is not funny, it's real. You're going to age. And ultimately, after you age, if you live long enough, one day you're going to die. And you don't want to, you don't want to go to the grave with your dreams still in your heart. You don't want to go to the grave with talents that have never been released. You don't want to say, I woulda, coulda, shoulda, oughta. You want to do it all. When I played ball, we used to say we want to leave it all on the field. And we tried to leave it all on the field. Why save it for another game when this is the one I'm in now? So I got to leave it all on the field. When we played the instruments, man, when the director raised his hands, all of the instruments went swish. And when the hands came down, we had to play that note. So I'm saying to you now is the time when you got to play that note. There was a song when I was a kid that said, give of your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor. Join in the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example. Dantes, was he young and brave? Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor. Join in the battle for truth. And you have to do that now before the drive-bys. You have to do it now before juvenile court. You have to do it now before prison. You have to do it now before aging. You have to do it now before the master sounds the roll in heaven and calls your name. You have to do it. You have to give yourself away. And it's not to Riri, it's not to Pookie, it's to Jesus. You have to give him your life. You have to give him your heart. David, Solomon's father, said this. He said, I was once young. He said, but now I'm old. He said, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I just want to tell you, if you live for Jesus, Jesus will live in you. If you walk with the Lord will walk with you. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. He'll protect you. He'll keep you from hurt, harm, danger, things you can see, things you cannot see. He'll open doors for you. He'll take you places you never dreamed that you could go. The Lord will do it. The Lord will do it. You don't need to develop wrong habits. Develop right habits. And God will do it. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Anybody know he will? He'll pay your bills, baby. He'll heal your body. He'll make a way. You won't even know how you got there. I was on the other side of the world One day, the Lord had blessed me. I went to China. Didn't know how in the world a black man in China. But God took me there. I looked up another day and I was in Israel. How in the world did a young boy from Titusville end up in Israel? I looked up another day and the Lord had carried me to Africa. I looked up another day and there I was in India, looking at places that I only dotted on the map in earlier years, never thought that it would be possible, but the Lord. Open doors for jobs that I didn't understand. Made ways out of no ways. That's what the Lord will do when you give yourself away, when you give yourself to Him as youth. And you got to do it now because these things are true. We may have laughed today, but it's not a laughing matter. Aging is going to come. And ultimately, you're going to have to leave this earth. We're on the stage for a little while. And we have to play our parts while we're on the stage. But one day the curtain will close and our parts will be done. And we'll have to bow out and someone else will have to take our place. And so I want to tell you again, remember, now, thy Creator, in the days of thy youth, give yourself to Jesus. Give yourself to Jesus, and He'll give you an awesome life. Doors of the church open. Doors open. Might be someone here today. Might be some young person who may want to come, who may want to give their heart to God. The Lord will save you. The Lord will heal you. The Lord will bless your life. Anytime during the singing of the song, give your heart to God. Give your hand to one of these. And let's begin a great walk. Let's begin a great life. The door is open.
Hey friends, this is Dr. Michael Wesley, Senior Pastor of Greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. And I know by now you know about this new book that we have released. Not only have we released it, the book is here. And it's an excellent read, not just because I wrote it, but because of the content and what it conveys. It tells the story of where marriage comes from. Marriage comes from God. And I need us to know that. And if you're in love and are considering this particular path for your life, the content of this book will help you along the way. Not only do we talk about where marriage comes from, we talk about keys to compatibility, what's necessary to be effective in marriage. I have a little acronym in the book. It's called CUT, C-U-T, Communication, Understanding, Trust. That becomes the basic formula that's necessary for any marriage to be successful. Not only do we talk about those things and the keys to compatibility, we also talk about staying in love. Once you're in love, we certainly want to remain in love. And some may wonder, well, what if I married the wrong person? We even deal with that as well. So this is a great opportunity for you to make sure that you're in line with what God's will is for your life. God bless you. Please follow the prompts on the screen that you may know how to get your personal copy of this book. Friends, this is Michael Wesley, Senior Pastor of Greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. We really appreciate all of the love and support that you have shown to us through these broadcasts. We've been hearing from people and our friends all over, and we want you to pray about being a supporter and a prayer partner and a supporter of this television ministry. If you believe the Holy Spirit has ministered the Word of God to you and you'd like to see this ministry continue and to share it with your friends, please consider being a supporter. Follow the prompts on the screen. We would love to hear from you.